In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Monday epistle reading actually touches on one of the ways that we as Christians are to bear fruit, the kind of fruit that Christ was talking about in the gospel, that good seed that falls on good soil bears. That reading basically concludes with the epistle to the Philippians, and if you know a little bit about the structure of epistles at the time that St. Paul wrote his epistles, epistles usually begin with a greeting. There's often some personal notes in the beginning, but the ending is where he gets into more personal things, and sort of sandwiched in between that are where St. Paul deals with the bigger issues, and that's true of secular epistles that you find from the same time. So in the ending of St. Paul's epistles to the Philippians, he touches on his personal relationship with the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi was in a city in Greece. It happened to be the same city where Mark Antony defeated the forces of Cassius and Brutus, and so they established a Roman colony there, and so the Christians that were there were probably of Roman descent. And he had a very special relationship with these people. He says, beginning with verse 10 in chapter 4, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." What he's saying there is that he recently received something, a gift to help him from the church of Philippi. And he's saying it flourished again because they'd done this before. And he's saying it's not because you had forgotten me, but it's just that you didn't have an opportunity to get anything to me. And we don't know exactly what the details were, whether that was because there was just simply no one that was heading in that direction that they were able to give a gift to, or because maybe for some period of time they simply were lacking in abundance. But for whatever reason, they weren't able to give him anything for a while, but he's just noting the fact that they did it again. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." What he's saying is I'm not mentioning this because, you know, I really needed your gift. God takes care of me, and I know how to be content whatever the circumstances are. Sometimes I have a lot, sometimes I don't have anything, but I know that God will get me through it, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He knew how to deal with the good times, and he knew how to deal with the hard times. Often people, when they go through hard times, they're driven to do evil things. They might be driven to theft or some other crime. But it's also true that when people are in abundance, they're often driven to do evil, just in a different sort of way. They become lazy, they become selfish, they become greedy, and they get caught up in things. And so in either case, they get their eyes off of God. But St. Paul says, "I know how to deal with when I've got a lot, and I know how to deal with it when I don't have very much." When he had a lot, he was generous to other people. He helped them out. When he didn't have very much, he thanked God for what he had, and he was content. And this is one of the very important things that you could take from this epistle, and that's that learning to be content with what you have. If you want to make somebody happy, it's not that you need to give them more stuff, it's that they need to learn to desire fewer things. That's really the key to happiness. Because we can see when we look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous that having lots of stuff doesn't make people happy. When people have lots of stuff, they tend to want to have more stuff. And you could be a millionaire, but then as soon as you're a millionaire, you're looking at the multimillionaires, you're thinking, "Well, I don't got what they have." And then when you're a multimillionaire, you're looking at the billionaires. Well, those are the really rich people. I need to be like them. I need to have what they have. But even when you get to the top of the chain, you're still not happy because those things don't make you happy. What makes you happy is being satisfied with what you have and finding your source of strength in Christ. It says, "Notwithstanding, you have done well that ye shared in my affliction." How did they share his affliction? Well, they were helping him out. He was going through a difficult time. St. Paul wrote this epistle while he was in prison in Rome. And prison in those days wasn't quite like it is nowadays, where you're guaranteed 3 meals a day and a nice hot warm bed and all that kind of stuff. In those days, if you didn't have people on the outside that were bringing you food, you might starve to death. You certainly wouldn't be eating very well. And so the fact that they were helping him out was an important thing. And that's true for us too. It's true when you support any ministry of the church that you have a share in that ministry. When you give to this parish, whatever good that this parish does, whoever it reaches, whatever it accomplishes for God, you have a share when you do that. And likewise, our parish, when we help out the diocese, we have a share in all the things that go on in the diocese. Also, when we give to churches that are very poor, like the Haiti mission, there are parishes that we have in Haiti where they have very little. They have services and block houses with some fabricated roof, nothing like what we would have down here, and the people get by on very little. And so when we help out those people, we have a share in their suffering, and we have a share in the good things that those parishes accomplish. And when we help out the church in persecuted areas, like in the Middle East right now, we can see that the church is being persecuted more now than it has been in a long time. Just this week, an Orthodox priest was martyred by the so-called Syrian Liberation Army, the one that press is playing up as being these great heroes that we need to be supporting. But as a matter of fact, these Muslim extremists are killing Christians, and they martyred a priest just this last week. And so when we help people out in those situations, we have a share in their suffering. We may never experience persecution in our lifetime the way that those people are, but we can have a share in the blessings that come from that when we help those people out, when we send them our money, and when we pray for them and do what we can for their benefit. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So what he's pointing out here is that when he was in the early stages of his missionary journeys to the Gentiles, the Philippians were the one church that were helping him out, and he didn't have to prod them. In other epistles, you find St. Paul encouraging people to give, not to himself, because he talks about how he fed himself by the labor of his own hands, and though he could ask for them to help support him, he wouldn't do it because he didn't want to them to be able to say that they were somehow taking care of him or that he was lazy. But he would ask them to give to help other churches. He brought money from other churches to the people in Jerusalem when they were going through a famine. And so he's just remembering and thanking them that not just on one occasion, but on multiple occasions, they had, without being asked, helped him out and given him money to give to other people. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So this is the fruit that we're talking about here. He's saying, I don't really need your money. God's going to take care of me. But for your sakes, I desire that you'll get the spiritual fruit that will come from giving. And that's exactly what they were doing. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Epaphroditus was the person that brought these gifts to St. Paul, and he was also the person that came back and brought this epistle to the Philippians. And St. Paul is saying that, you know, you've been a blessing. And he's also saying that what you've offered is an acceptable sacrifice. He's using language that you find in the Old Testament where God would find a sacrifice acceptable and refers to it as a sweet smell. It's not the stuff that's given. St. John Chrysostom goes into great detail about the fact that it's not the amount that's given. You can't buy heaven. If you were a millionaire and you gave to the church more than anyone else in the parish, that wouldn't mean that it would be an acceptable sacrifice if it wasn't given in the right spirit. And he compares the widow who gave the two mites in the Gospels with someone who gives out of their abundance and says, you know, that it's not the amount, it's the disposition. So when we give and we give sacrificially, that's a sacrifice that's acceptable to God. And he says that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. That's a pretty big bank account that we're referring to there. God's riches and glory are infinite. And so when it says that God will supply all of our needs, we have no reason to think that he's going to run out of riches and glory that he's going to be able to bestow upon us. But what that's not saying is that God's going to provide us with all our desires according to his riches and glory. God's going to give us what we need. And if we're content, we will be happy with that. If we learn to be content in all things, as St. Paul admonishes, we'll be at peace because God will give us whatever we need in whatever circumstances we happen to be in. St. Paul closes with these words, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."